Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What is up, everyone? It is Tuesday, June 24th. Steve Geller with Charlie Long, bringing you until 8 p.m. this evening. Charlie and I will also be doing some special NBA draft coverage tomorrow night. WWL will take you inside all the action with the Pelicans draft special. Me and Charlie live from the Pelicans headquarters for all the excitement as the draft unfolds and share all the moments of the Pelicans' 7th, 23rd, and 40th pick, which will be on Thursday. If you love Pelicans basketball, don't miss the Pelicans draft special tomorrow night, 6 to 9 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Yeah, the big local news today was definitely Pelicans trading veteran C.J. McCollum along with forward Kelly Olynyk and a future second rounder to the Washington Wizards, getting back guard Jordan Poole, forward Sadiq Bey, and the number 40 pick in this year's NBA draft. And, you know, for me, Charlie, all the talk has been about Jordan Poole right now. Not many folks are bringing up the addition of Sadiq Bey at this moment.
I like Sadiq Bey a lot.
I guess it's a lot of out of sight, out of mind because he missed last year is why people aren't really talking about him.
Yeah, correct. So just reemphasizing with Sadiq Bey, he had that ACL tear in March of 2024 that ended up keeping him out all of last year. And, you know, once again, like I mentioned with Mike, if he is 90% of the player that he was in Detroit, where in his first year, his rookie campaign, and he's still a young guy too. Like we've mentioned that as well, that they're prioritizing youth and kind of the new fit with this trade, moving on from C.J. McCollum, who's 33 years old, Kelly Olynyk, who's 34 years old, and then bringing in Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey, who are both 26 right now. Sadiq Bey in his rookie year with the Detroit Pistons finished 4th in rookie of the year voting. He's always been a very stellar piece before pre-ACL injury and someone that's been available as well. He averaged basically about 70 to 75 games played per season, including a full 82-game season with Detroit in 2021-2022. And across the board, he is like a 15-point-per-game scorer. He's averaged 14.1 points per game for his career in the 292 games that he's played since entering the league in 2020. And this is a guy that's shooting for a career at 35.2% from three, but he has shot, you know, over 40% multiple different times from field goal percentage. You know, he hasn't quite reached that just yet. He reached it in Atlanta when he played 25 games with them in 2023. But the trade was for him to go to Washington for the 2024 season. He ended up missing the entire season with the Wizards. But there's a connection there with current Pelicans GM Troy Weaver. Weaver traded for him when he was in Detroit, and he traded for him when he was in Washington. And Mark Cook had brought that up when we had spoke with him, the NBA scout, this past hour, was that, you know, Troy Weaver has experience with both Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey. There's a connection there. Obviously, he's confident in both players coming and playing a role for the Pelicans in 2026.
Good length for the team, 6'7", 215, former 19th overall pick in the draft out of Villanova, man.
Yeah, he was picked by Brooklyn and then traded to Detroit, I think on draft night. If it wasn't on draft night, it was like the day after. It was the following day. Anyways, he's going to be one of the key rotational pieces if he's healthy and good to go, which you imagine he took the entire year off last year, kind of rehabbing that injury. And if he's a good piece on this team, he's going to be kind of the backup wing player behind guys like Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, but someone once again that can contribute good minutes off the bench.
Yeah, I was just surprised, like everybody's talking Jordan Poole, and I get it right now, but Sadiq Bey to me is definitely a significant piece in this, like you mentioned, for that rotational piece. And I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens here. I like the move just to get younger. Saving on the financials in the long run.
Yeah. So the thing with Sadiq Bey was that he signed basically, I've got to double check the numbers on this. I think it was a 3-year, $60 million deal when he got traded to the Wizards. Yeah. 3-year, $20 million deal with the Wizards. My bad. I had miscommunicated as 20 per. But yeah, it's a cheap deal for someone that should be a bench contributor for this team. And then Jordan Poole has a much larger deal that he signed. You know, it's, I think basically he's getting paid just under $32 million this year, and he's getting paid $34 million the following year, and then he's done. like he'll need another contract after that. So he's not an expiring deal like CJ McCollum was, but he's basically making the same amount of money as someone like CJ McCollum on his current contract.
Now you're talking about Jordan Poole. That's a guy that initially when drafted with Golden State, I thought like they were calling him potentially the next Splash Brother.
Yeah, I mean, that was his kind of nickname, was the third Splash Brother behind Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And he played a lot of minutes and a lot of important minutes on that Golden State team that won the 2021-2022 NBA Finals. And you can make the argument however you want to say it. In my opinion, on that Golden State Finals team, it was Steph Curry, it was Andrew Wiggins, and it was Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was the third best player on the team that won the finals. And so Washington made the splash for him, you know, come bring in this talented young shooting guard. And the thing about this trade that's really fascinating is that a lot of people will view it differently based on your opinion of Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
Is
I'm seeing
he
that.
Someone that you can trust to be an exciting player that can average 20 points per game like he did with Washington last year, that can be, you know, the second or third best piece on a playoff team in the Western Conference? Or is he kind of the empty stats, empty calories type of guy that will put up a bunch of shots, but he doesn't necessarily impact winning in the biggest way? So depending on your viewpoint of Jordan Poole, you'll kind of view this trade a little bit differently because he is a major piece. Don't get anything wrong. We talked about Sadiq Bey being a key piece for the Pelicans, potentially coming off the bench. Jordan Poole's a starter in this league.
Yeah,
this is a guy
right
that's averaged 20
position.
Points per game in the league multiple different years. And, I mean, once again, he was the third best player on a team that won the finals just a few years ago. So he's a really, really interesting piece. I kind of have a more positive view on Jordan Poole. I know Mike has called him wildly inconsistent, and the inconsistencies are there in his game, but he's an exciting piece. And, I mean, at least he brings that to the Pelicans, and we'll see exactly what he does in New Orleans in 2025, 2026. But as we mentioned, like Mark Cook had said, obviously, there's a comfortability there with Troy Weaver, with both guys, with Jordan Poole and with Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, and going out, obviously, I heard you and Mike talking about the accolades for CJ McCollum. Definitely was a great piece while he was here, not just on the court, but a pristine role model that any organization would love to have around. You feel like that's going to be the biggest piece for me missing from this Pels team right now is just that leadership that CJ provided. As for what he was doing on the court, you know, down the stretch, I felt like CJ was inconsistent too, and there were so many times you were even questioning some of his shot selections in games where it was like, oh my God, please stop shooting.
You know, I think I joked with Jake Madison about this from the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Some Pelican fans were not big on CJ McCollum. You'll never find me say a bad word about him. He was nothing but a professional in New Orleans, and he embraced the city. He did a lot of great things here, and he was Mr. Consistency. So, yes, you're getting back these exciting young pieces in a Jordan Poole and a Sadiq Bey, once again coming off the ACL injury, adding the 40th overall pick this year as well. So you have three top 40 selections in this year's draft. You have the two picks tomorrow night, which we'll be talking about tomorrow night, live from the Pelicans facility, which should be a lot of fun. And then the 40th pick, which is the 10th overall selection in the second round tomorrow or on Thursday. So you have a lot of young pieces that you're starting to kind of decide what to do with. And this is what Mike had said, you know, kind of Joe Dumars starting to put his little imprint on this organization in his first year as the new lead executive, but specifically with Sadiq Bey, with Jordan Poole, that's some Troy Weaver stuff involved there. He was with the Wizards last year. He's familiar with both players that he brought in. They obviously felt comfortable. And for the Wizards, why it makes sense as well, you get the veteran leadership, but CJ's an expiring contract. Right. And I saw as well that they're in position, Steve, to have $100 million in cap space in 2026 once the CJ contract expires. Jordan Poole has another year left on his deal, so he would have kind of provided a little bit of a hit to that. But the Wizards are now in a pretty interesting spot where they have the young core already. They're going to add to it with the 6th overall selection. And they have the veteran leadership like a CJ McCollum, like Chris Middleton, to go alongside their young talent with Bilal Coulibaly, with Alex Saar, and whoever they decide to take at 6th overall.
Also for me, shout out to Kelly Olynyk. I felt like he came in here and was able to contribute right away and seamlessly just fit in to what was going on, even though things were not great for the Pelicans last season. But I felt like Olynyk, when he came in and finished out the year two with this team, was one of the few bright spots that were around.
Yeah, he was surprising, Steve. I remember when the Pelicans made that deal, the Brandon Ingram trade that brought back Bruce Brown, that brought back Kelly Olynyk, and brought back the Pacers 2026 first round pick, none of which the Pelicans have kept since David Griffin made that deal, which is kind of funny. I guess we'll see what happens with Bruce Brown. He's an unrestricted free agent, though, and I don't anticipate the Pelicans keeping him. But you moved on from that first round pick. You now moved on from Kelly Olynyk. But when Olynyk was here, he was surprising, because when they made that deal, Mike and I talked about it, that we had pretty high expectations for someone like Bruce Brown coming into the program, a guy that won the NBA Finals when he was with the Denver Nuggets. We didn't have as much expectations for someone like Kelly Olynyk, but he was a really strong veteran piece in the front court for this Pelicans team. And, you know, kind of like we were saying with CJ, you got to always move on from something to get something. And Kelly Olynyk was a strong piece, but so we wish him the best in Washington, because what he provided in New Orleans in a short time here was very solid.
With Olynyk on the way out too now, there is just two centers on this roster, and that's why I've been seeing a ton of stuff on social media and online that is it kind of sealing the deal on the direction the Pels might be going with that seventh overall pick. Is a big man, do they have their sights set on a big man at, I guess, number 7 or 23?
So I would, with one of those two picks, go big. Because even me seeing Carlo Mackovich is all that front court has right now, at least in the center room. And if you decide to take Malawach, it will be pretty fascinating to see where he ends up going. Mark Cook brought up that Common Malawach could go as high as 2.
That was surprising.
Which would be insane.
Right.
Because everyone's kind of penciled in. Dylan Harper is the second best player in this class, and he'll be the second overall pick. But I never really considered Malawach as a fit in San Antonio. When you think a little bit about it, with Wembanyama and Malawach, like Wemby could kind of be like the stretch big, and he can play almost like the 4, and Malawach can stay as the 5. They have two, like, 7'6" guy in Wemby and a 7'2" guy in Malawach as their starting front court. That's at least intriguing, right, to consider. So we'll see what they decide to do there. Malawach is someone that I would look at pick 7 for the Pelicans. I know that he's been mocked there a couple different times. You know, Derek Queen is someone that I know the Pelicans have worked out.
That's what I feel like. That's a name that's been generating a ton of buzz around the Pels right now.
Really, really talented offensive-minded big man. So he's a little bit different from Malawach, who's more of a defensive-minded guy. You kind of view Malawach as the rim-protecting, rim-running big, where you view Derek Queen as more of a offensively advanced big, right? So it will be interesting to see what they decide to do there. But those are two guys that they could potentially take at 7. And I asked Mark as well, like, if he really likes Danny Wolfe, the center from Michigan,
right?
Another very offensively advanced big man, a 7'1" guy with a good handle that can also shoot apparently as well, even though it kind of looks a little bit funky. He was like a guard, but he had a growth spurt, kind of turned into a big man. He's a really fascinating prospect, but he's probably going to go more towards like the late end of the lottery into the 20s. And if he's there at 23, bing, bang, boom, that could be a really good option there for the Pelicans too. And you don't have to take him at 7th overall.
How are you feeling about this? I know we talked to Will Guillory, who from The Athletic, felt that the fact that the Pels are probably going to stand pat, he felt like, with their picks and not try to move up for anyone. Does this, the moves they've made now today, kind of signal any direction that they could go for you?
I think they're going with the youth movement, and Joe Dumars is going to build this roster in his image.
Trying to add as many bodies as you can right now.
I would imagine, and I might be wrong, this is just kind of a guess, I don't have any insider information about, you know, what the Pelicans are going to do on draft night. I think they use all 3 picks. If you had to ask me right now, that they'll use pick 7, they'll use pick 23, and they'll use pick 40 on Thursday for the second round. You know, maybe a player that they really, really love falls to around 5, and you can entertain a deal with the Utah Jazz and say, hey, we want to move up a couple spots. Here's what we'll give you to do so. That would be less expensive than trying to call up Daryl Morey with the Philadelphia 76ers saying, hey, we want to move up to pick 3. That's going to be a lot more pricey than just trying to move up from 7 to 5 or something like that. So we'll see what Joe Dumars and the Pelicans' new front office decides to ultimately do. I think it's interesting, the trade that they did, bringing in Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, 2 26-year-olds that are kind of entering their prime. And then, you know, having the 3 picks now over the next 2 days, they're going to kind of start rebuilding this roster and flushing it with a bunch of young talent, and that's definitely exciting as a Pelicans fan.
Something, too, I'm curious about with that 23 pick. You know, you make that 7th overall selection, and then if you really like someone else that high up on your board, do you maybe package that 23 pick with a player to move up to eight, you know, 9 or 10, and grab another guy early on in the first round?
I mean, you could. My kind of question with this roster right now is, what's the spot for Jordan Hawkins at this point? You know, the former 14th overall pick from this Pelicans team just a couple years ago. We talked with Chris Dotson about this from Clutch Points, and he said he doesn't know if Jordan Hawkins really has a spot. And now, especially bringing in another shooting guard, I know that you kind of traded shooting guards with CJ McCollum for Jordan Poole, the combo guards, and then you bring in Sadiq Bey, who's kind of a wing more than a shooting guard necessarily. But what's really their plan for Hawkins long term? That's something that I'm keeping an eye on, especially if, you know, someone like Trey Johnson from Texas, the shooting guard, falls to pick 7 and you want to scoop him up because he's a really talented NBA ready shot maker. There's a couple different options that the Pelicans have to build this roster out. And maybe they do decide to try and trade up in the draft and use one of those young players like a Jordan Hawkins to move up and make sure that they can secure someone later on in the first round.
Going to be a fun one. Tomorrow night starts round one of the NBA draft. Our draft special will start at 6 o'clock, running till 9, and we'll find out if the Pels make that 7th overall selection, as well as number 23. Also now own the 40th selection, which will be day 2 of the draft on Thursday. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk right now. When we get back, we'll get into more of LSU baseball's championship run, bringing home an 8th national title, and also what lies ahead for this Tigers roster in 2026. Glenn West, for senior writer at go247.com, will join us after the break, so we'll be right back here on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Tiger fans, LSU is going to host a national championship celebration for the LSU baseball team tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Alec Box Stadium. We'll bring you a complete replay of the celebration featuring Coach Jay Johnson and the players right after our Pelicans draft special. That'll be tomorrow night, 9 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Helping us break down that championship run right now, we're going to talk to Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. Glenn, how you doing, man? These Tigers definitely made this lull in summer a lot more interesting.
Yeah, it was a great, great run that they were able to cap off, going perfect in Omaha, and being able to watch that team go 8, you know, bring number 8 to that program is very special. So it was a good week for sure.
And having the head coach, we keep talking about how great Jay Johnson is. Just overall, the program lucky to be able to snag him. So shout out to Scott Woodward as well for bringing him in. But I mean, now two national titles in the last 3 years, just seems like the best is yet to even come for this Tiger squad. I know that might be crazy to say, but the way that Jay is building this program up, you got to imagine that people and these young players want to come to LSU to learn under him and the great pitching coach in Nate Yeske.
Yeah, no doubt. I sat across from Jay Johnson a couple of years ago after they'd won that 2023 national championship, and I kind of just asked him, you know, what was his like end game goal for how he wanted this program to be remembered or this era to be remembered, and you know, I threw the word dynasty at him, and he, you know, really kind of responded with, you know, we want to, how close can we get to recreating 1988 LSU baseball, you know, 88 to 2001 LSU baseball? How close can we get to 2007 to 2023 Alabama football? He's thinking in those terms. I mean, he's a guy that is very much all baseball all the time. I mean, he devotes his entire life around getting to Omaha and getting LSU to a place where they can win a national championship. And I think this team really embodied a lot of what he wants to build the future of the program on. They were a mentally tough team that had its flaws. You know, they had their down moments, and yet they were able to kind of always never be out of it. You know, they were always kind of a team that, you know, even when they weren't playing their best, they were in the game, they had a chance to win it late. And they never seemed out of control in Omaha over these last five games. I think that's the thing that's really sticking with me as we get further and further away from this championship now, a couple days ago. There was maybe the eighth and ninth inning in that Arkansas game where, you had kind of things were on the line a little bit, but they just, every time that, Arkansas threw a punch, LSU was right there to respond in the very next half inning. And, this has been that's been kind of a theme of this team throughout the entirety of the year. And it's certainly, I think, how Jay Johnson wants to build future teams here in Baton Rouge.
And I want to ask you about that, Glenn, just Jay Johnson's tireless recruiting. And we talk about it all the time, how he's able to build teams, not just through the high school ranks, because he plays the high school players. And that's a really easy pitch to some of these top high school prospects that are going to college that you might be able to play right off the bat if you're the best player at your position, but also in the transfer portal and him always getting these key pieces that will help a team and bolster the Tigers for that upcoming season. I mean, I just think of right off the bat, Anthony Ianson and how he kind of combined with Cade Anderson to create one of the best, if not the best 1-2 punch in college baseball. And he had mentioned like, oh, we'll get to Omaha on the backs of those two guys. They won the College World Series on the backs of those two guys as well. So I want to get your thoughts on Jay as a recruiter, not just in the high school ranks, but also in the transfer portal, because very soon here, we're going to be talking about a lot of transfers coming to LSU, and Jay Johnson's going to try and snag the best ones.
Yeah, it's a tireless effort that he puts in. And honestly, I think there's no greater pitch for him, whether it's recruiting a pitcher or recruiting a freshman in high school. Like, just look at the product they put out the last 3 years. I mean, Anthony Ianson, you go back to the first year that he was, or the second year that he was there, they bring in Paul Skeens and Thatcher Hurd. Last year was Luke Holman and Gage Jump. They've been able to really swing and hit on a lot of these transfer portal pitchers over the last couple of years. And those guys have been really foundational pieces in LSU's success. And then you look at the freshman classes, guys like Derek Curiel, Cade Arambeedy had a really big time, several games this year where they really leaned on him in spots where they needed Luis Hernandez to get some rest. Kaysen Evans, William Schmidt was a big part of this thing early on in the season. Maverick Rizzi and Cooper Williams were really dialed in towards the end of the regular season and into the postseason in Williams' case. Like, they're not afraid to play freshmen. If they're ready early, that's another great recruiting pitch that they have. And look, they're only going to continue to get better from here. They have another great recruiting class coming in that, is filled with guys that fill positions of need. And I think that they saw that and they've seen, like, these guys aren't necessarily going to be those top 10 to 20 picks, right? So if you're able to make a successful pitch to even a couple of these players that are in the top 50 to top 100 range, get a couple of more of those guys on campus to really fill out the roster in the draft, obviously hit the portal for another pitcher, maybe another outfielder, infielder, catcher. I mean, like, they have a couple holes that they need to fill for sure. But there's no greater pitch than what they've just done in Omaha with the variety of different players and the variety of different backgrounds that those players came from to really make this thing work.
Sticking with the pitchers, I know, looking at the MLB draft, it's pretty likely that Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson will both be heading to the MLB. But, what are some of the other guys like a Chase Shores, Jacob Myers, and so on? Where do this Tiger stand with some of the rest of these players?
Yeah, look, I think Chase Shores is another guy that you're going to hear pretty early in the draft. I would imagine second, third round for him.
Okay.
I think that there's going to be, Jared Jones, certainly Daniel Dickinson. I think those guys will hear their names heard called in the middle rounds. So you're going to potentially lose them. I think that there are a couple guys on both the pitching side and the position player side to really keep an eye out for in terms of just the draft specifically. I think from the pitching perspective, the one guy that I think I'm kind of really keeping an eye on here for LSU is Zach Cowan. I think he's a guy that if LSU can make a successful pitch to, they can maybe convince him to come back, and that would obviously be a huge piece to bring back into the fold for next year. He's such a steady pitcher and throws a ton of strikes, and You saw, even when a couple of his outings didn't go his way, towards the end of the season, he was able to shrug them off and pick it up there and have the big five of the third outing against Arkansas. So I think Cowan would be huge if they could get him back. And then you look kind of in the outfield at a couple of different players, Chris Stanfield, Ethan Frye. These are a couple of guys that I think LSU, you know, is probably already having conversations with about what, you know, they're looking for in the draft, what their, you know, slot bonus is going to be. But if LSU is able to convince one of those two guys to come back too, obviously with what you got with Curiel and Jake Brown, that would be a massive, massive win, because you're essentially looking at your starting outfield not really changing if you can convince one of those two players to come back. So definitely a few players that are maybe a little bit on the fence right now with the draft, and just got to wait and see how it all shakes out here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, as you kind of mentioned, Glenn, there's going to be multiple pieces moving on to the draft. And, you know, even like a Josh Pearson, who's going to be done with the program after being a senior. I saw from Kendall Rogers, D1 Baseball, that he's expecting a very active weekend in Baton Rouge as far as the transfer portal, which is now going to be LSU's priority, and seeing what kind of players they can get from the portal. I just want to get your thoughts, because it just feels like, as you mentioned earlier, with Jay Johnson trying to create this second, quote unquote, like golden era of LSU baseball, the portal is going to be a key piece every single season, and LSU is going to be targeting all these top guys.
Sure. Yeah, I think that they're definitely going to be active, and you can certainly see some action here over the next couple days now that they're back and that the season's over and all that stuff. But I also think that there is a good core of foundational players that are going to be back on this team. And so I think from LSU's position here, they can be a little bit more selective about the kind of guys that they want to target in the portal. And for me, that, you know, it would probably start with some left-handed pitching. I think you probably need to bring some left-handers in here to kind of really balance out the pitching staff for next year. Certainly the infield, they've already gotten off to a good start with the infield. They brought in two players out of the portal already, a couple of power hitters that I think could be able to help fill a couple of those positions in the infield. But I think they probably would still like to add another, you know, infielder or two out of the portal. Certainly a catcher, you know, Luis Hernandez moving on. Kate Aaron Beattie figures to slide into that starting role next year, but do they want to bring in somebody else that has some veteran experience to, you know, maybe spell him or compete with him for that job? So there's going to be some action here. I think that they have, you know, they've been talking to guys even in Omaha. You know, they have to slot out a couple hours during their preparation for those games just to get guys on the phone. And I think that you'll see that really ramp up here now that they're back, and now that they can have a couple guys come visit campus here over the next few days and weeks, and potentially build up another contending kind of roster.
Glenn, you have any idea what the Tigers have in store for this celebration in Alec Box Stadium tomorrow? I know we're going to hear from Coach Jay Johnson, the players and whatnot. Also, I got to imagine they've been busy on that Intimidator board getting the 2025 year up there in place. And I'm just curious if you know any of the other, you know, things that might be going on tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll be a great night. I mean, obviously a big-time celebration night for this team. You'll probably hear from a number of the stars of this program. You know, I'm just hearkening back to what I remember from a couple of years ago when they did this in 2023. You had a number of their veteran leaders really step up and talk a lot about the team and about the season. So I imagine you'd hear from Jared Jones. You'll hear from Chase Shores. You'll hear from Anthony Ianson, Kate Anderson, all those guys. We'll probably go up there and say a few words to the crowd that shows up, and we'll see. I mean, I've seen that they've already, in their team room, they've already added the 2025 championship number to their growing number 8. So we'll see if the Intimidator is ready and is able to add another number for tomorrow night. But should be a really fun one, just to kind of really round out this season and what is going to be go down as another legendary, unforgettable team.
Glenn, always appreciate the time from you. Thanks so much for taking some time away from your busy action. I know you're keeping up with LSU football recruiting as well.
Yeah, it's hectic for sure. We just wrapped up official visit season for the football program, and now you're going to probably get into a several-week span here where could see some action from a recruiting class perspective in terms of 2026 edition. So we've got it all over at Go 24/7, and we're keeping up with it.
Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com. You can check out his work there. Always appreciate the time. Great information, and have a good one, man. Thank you. Thanks a ton.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Glenn.
Man, oh, man, the LSU Tigers, 8 feels great, and I know they're going to be coming up with something about rhyming with number 9 being fine or something like that for next season.
Yeah, I mean, keep it rolling. 2 championships in 3 years. Steve,
spoiled.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I might have to do a little bit of a deep dive on this, but as far as current national championship-winning head coaches in college baseball, the only coaches that have won multiple national championships that are currently active, I think it's Jay Johnson and Tim Corbin. I think that's it for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, outside of that sounds about right to me, but I'd have to double check for sure.
Other coaches like Pat Casey at Oregon State is retired. You know, the old Texas coach that passed away a few years back. I'll have to double check, but I think that's correct. I think that there's only 2 active head coaches in college baseball that have won multiple national championships.
You got to imagine Jay Johnson is going to be in line for a pretty nice raise.
Oh, well deserved. He's the best coach in college baseball.
Definitely, I think maybe right now, Charlie, my favorite coach in all of sports.
He's the best, isn't he? And, you know, he comes on the show. He gives us great information every time we ask him. Really, really nice guy. But he's also fantastic at what he does. So he deserves all the praise that he's getting from every different outlet that's giving it to him.
Also really dig, I don't know if you heard in the moderator in the postgame press conference at the College World Series Finals. And he's like, one more question. And he's like, you know what? We can go all night. We just won the College World Series. I'll answer whatever questions they got.
He's great with the media. I mean, he doesn't ever except for starting pitching decisions in the postseason. He kind of keeps that close to the
vest. Hey, that's Jay's thing.
It is, but it works out. So, you know, we can't really question it.
Want to hear from you on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Were you happen to be in Omaha at all? Curious to know what that, you know, moment was like. I can just, you know, envision and imagine what that atmosphere was like at the field and seeing the Tigers, you know, running on with another championship coming home with. Sound off on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We shall return with even more sports talk right after this, so stay tuned on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Back here on Sports Talk, we're talking about the Pelicans trade today. Also another big one in the NBA. Sham Sharnia from ESPN reporting. Boston, Atlanta, Brooklyn finalizing that 3-team trade to send Kristaps Porzingis and a second-round pick to the Hawks. Terrence Mann and Atlanta's number 22 selection to the Nets. And Jordan Yang and a second-rounder to the Celtics. And Charlie, I know you had an interesting statistic about those Brooklyn Nets.
So Bobby Marks puts it perfectly. I mean, we've had him on the show before. He's fantastic for ESPN and kind of crunching the numbers for salary cap and all that good stuff. Brooklyn now owns 1/6 of the picks in tomorrow night's first round. They have pick 8. They have pick 19, 22 now, which they acquired via that 3-team trade that you just mentioned, Steve, 26 and 27. How about that? I think that when we're doing the show tomorrow night, we're probably going to mention Brooklyn's name a few times here. Unless they decide to package them all up and try and move up in the draft in some kind of splash trade. But I don't know. The NBA is different than the NFL, Steve, where, you know, the quality of the talent at the very top of the board is way more important than having all these picks. So their first pick being at 8, but then having 19, 22, 26, and 27, they're going to have a chance to potentially flush that roster with a lot of young talent. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what the Nets do, because 5 first-round picks this year, I got to check and see if that's a record.
One big trade we've been waiting on is the potential of moving on from Giannis Antetokounmpo. Do you think the Brooklyn Nets could be players in the market for him?
By packaging all those picks?
I mean, at least some of them.
Yeah, like maybe. I think that, you know, if you're trading Giannis, you want at least one really, really bright spot, right? One thing that you can say, okay, we're moving on from our franchise's best player, the guy that brought us to a championship just a few years ago, but hey, we have this to be really excited about. I don't think that all of those picks kind of packaged together would be really enough, in all honesty, which is kind of crazy to say. But at the same time, I think that they would be looking elsewhere if they even trade him in the first place. We'll just have to see this offseason. But Brooklyn with 5 first-round picks tomorrow night, they're going to be, like, the Pelicans have 2. So we're excited for that. But just imagine the Brooklyn folks that are going to be, you know,
hey, we're on the clock again.
Yeah, look, hey, 26. Oh, 27. Yeah, we got that pick too. Oh, 22 was just like 15 minutes ago. And so Brooklyn's going to definitely be a team to watch tomorrow night.
Back with Giannis, do you think in the end he stays with the Bucks or does he end up moving on?
With Houston trading for Kevin Durant, I think that Giannis ultimately stays. But that is just a guess. I don't know. Maybe they decide to move on. The East is weird, Steve. So maybe you could convince Giannis that, hey,
the East seems up for grabs, man.
It looks really rough. So maybe you can convince Giannis, hey, like, we might be able to run it back with you and be competitive in the Eastern Conference. May not be a championship contender, but at least be a decent playoff team. I don't think he really gets traded, but that's not any kind of insider information. That's just kind of a guess.
Stepping away here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Heading to the top of the hour news break, but keep it locked right here on WWL. We're going to get more into the NBA draft. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell joins us next hour to break down all that. Also, Pelicans top options with their first round selections. Stay tuned for more Sports Talk right after this with me and Charlie Long right after this news break here on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.